Open your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy. Chapter 33, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? Moses wrote five books. The first, Genesis, is a book for sinners. We have Adam, who lost all. He was the great subtractor. But we have God's wondrous grace shining out in that book. And we close it with Joseph, who means added. And we find Joseph on the throne and everything given to him. Then in Exodus we have a book for sons. Israel in bondage in Egypt, and God's word to Pharaoh was, "Let my son go." And from building fortresses for Pharaoh, they build a house for God in the wilderness. Out of the far country into the arms of God. They were brought to God out of the blood-stained door and across the sea to the mountain of His glory, Mount Sinai. In Leviticus we have the book for saints. The book begins with a sweet savor of the burnt offering, in which God sees His people. And they enter into His sanctuary and delight His heart with that that speaks to Him of the one He loves so well, His beloved Son. That's the book for worshipers. Deuteronomy is the book for sojourners. It's the wilderness book. But we discover the truth of what Jeremiah said. The people left of the sword found grace in the wilderness when God went down to bring them into rest. The sword in Egypt, the rest in Canaan, and grace all the way between. I'm sure that we too have experienced in our wilderness way the grace of God. This path that we tread in the desert is one vast disclosure of love, begun in the Passover haste, fulfilled in the glory above. It's grace every step of the way. Then when we come to Deuteronomy, we have the book for scholars. Israel is within sight of the promised land, and they're sitting at the feet of Jehovah rehearsing His ways. It's a lesson book. And there are many precious lessons in this book. The verse that I read is the summing up of it. Israel, you're a happy people because you have experienced God's salvation. Now I want to suggest that in this chapter, Deuteronomy 33, we have a summing up of what God had for Israel. It's a chapter of blessings. Here we have the blessings of a dying man. Verse 1. This is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. We turn to the epistle to the Ephesians and we discover that we have blessings in the risen man. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. There's a song we sing that we say is the impossible song. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Of course you can't do that. I had a peculiar experience preaching in our chapel one night, and a man was there that I knew. He was a preacher of the gospel in one of the churches in town. And he said to me at the close of the service, he said, "You know, I rather enjoyed your message tonight." He says, "I rather like you, even though you don't believe in the second blessing." Well, I said, "How very much mistaken you are, for I do believe in the second blessing." Well, he says, "What you doing here? These people don't believe in the second blessing." I said, "They certainly do." Well, he said, "That's news to me." Well, I said, "However, did you come to that conclusion that we didn't believe in the second blessing?" Well, he said, "I thought you only believed in justification and didn't believe in sanctification." I said, "My dear man, we not only believe in the first and second blessing, we believe in the third and fourth, we believe in the 100th and the 200th. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies because we have Christ. And if we have Christ, we have everything that God can give us. He never stops at halfway measures. His blessing is always an apex." Some people talk about the higher Christian life. What sheer nonsense. There is nothing higher than life in Christ and Christ in the believer. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. And you may fail of God's purpose for you, but God sees us in Christ, accepted in the beloved. You can't get beyond that. Absolutely impossible. You may miss the experience of it. You may not possess your possessions. But we have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are happy. Happy people. Happy people. Oh, we really can be happy. I noticed as I took the open treasures and showed it to our brother Abe. I think it's Bill's monumental work. He goes to heaven. He's left that behind, and I think it's marvelous. I think it's the best thing that he ever put out. And I noticed in there that he said Mabel Carter got the poems together. I remember when I was leaving for Flint, and Mabel said to me on the way, "Will you visit my mother? I don't think you will see her again down here, Peter. Doctor said she may go tonight." So I stopped. She hadn't been able to speak for a while. But when I came, she said, sing. I marvel at that. Once in a donkey's age that somebody asked me to sing. But she said, "Sing." I said, "What?" Happy. "Oh," I said, "I know. It's your favorite, isn't it?" And I sang the first verse. "Happy they who trust in Jesus. Sweet their portion is and sure. Though the foe on others seize us, he will keep his own secure. Happy people, happy though despised and poor." Oh, she says it the next verse I want. And she sang it with me. And there's never a radio station that recorded that, but it's recorded up in heaven. You'll hear it when you get to heaven. God made a record of it. It sounded queer down here, but by the time it got up there, it was beautiful. she sang, as the bird beneath her feathers guards the objects of her care, so the Lord his people gathers, spreads his wings and shields them there. Happy people, happy people. Indeed we are happy people. But I wonder if we realize what's involved in salvation. Most of us think it simply means saved from the condemnation of our sins. It means infinitely more than that. In Germany long ago, there were people who were called mystics. And Francis Bevan has secured for God's people this that might have been lost to them if she hadn't discovered them, Three Friends of God, The Quiet in the Land, and several books on that order. She did a great service for the people of God, rescuing some of the most beautiful poems that we have, like the one, "Mid the darkness, storm and sorrow, one bright gleam I see. Well I know the blessed morrow, Christ will come for me." Someone came to our store and said, "I want that book in which that poem is," and we sold them Believer's Hymn Book just for the one song. Magnificent. But she relates of one of those saints of God of hundreds of years past. He said there are three types of Christians. There are some who are going from. There are some who are going to. There are some who are going in. What did she mean? There are some who are living in the joy, which is a joy of knowing that they've been saved and they're out of Egypt. The flames of hell they fear no more. My sins are gone. Bless God. Happy. My sins are gone. There are those who take the other look onward. The glory shines before me. Bless God. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? But there are so many Christians who miss going in. Heaven all the way. Rejoicing in a Christ at God's right hand, in whom God has placed us. Entering within the veil, gazing on the Lord in glory while our hearts in worship bow. There we read the wondrous story of the cross, its shame, its woe. The present enjoyment of Christ moment by moment as we look back to the cross and onward to the glory. Explore, discover, and possess the land. We can never serve rightly. We'll never be successful in our Christian service if we haven't been on the mountaintop with Him. Our Lord Jesus called 12 unto Himself that they might be with Him and then that He might send them. Now, in this portion, we have several words beginning with the letter S. I'm going to look at as many as I can until my time is up. Salvation is the first one. What's the second one? We've had salvation. It's safety. Verse 12. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. I like that. We're not only saved, but we're in safekeeping. What a precious refuge and what a resting place. His bosom, His shoulders. This is what we are to Him. He's not saved us and said, now get there the best you can. I hope you'll endure unto the end. Indeed not. And it's Bill McDonald's father that made this scripture much more precious to me than ever before. I had pictured the shepherd with the sheep on the shoulders, but you know, he told me that I don't know whether I can picture it or not, but anyhow, that sheep is on the shepherd's shoulder so that the head is right here by his heart. I like that, you know. I do. Oh, to just feel the beatings of the heart of your beloved as you nestle in his arms, as you cling close to him and know that he secures you. You're safe. Nothing can touch you. That's Benjamin's portion. Safety. Oh, we're precious to him, the beloved of the Lord. We've found a home, dwelling in safety by him. We don't fear, do we? What is it that people are talking about now and worried about? Ah, this is a place of safety. This is a place of refuge. Here we can just nestle and find that we are secure from all alarm. The Lord shall cover him. That's what that dear sister was singing about. That's where she was. That's what made her happy. Just as the bird, the mother bird, and those little ones there beneath her wings can feel the beating of that heart. The soft downy feathers. And then those mighty pinions. And as a believer, there are those soft, mighty, those soft, downy feathers of the Almighty. And then those wings. When I was in Kansas City, one of the few times I was there, Mrs. Somerville, she had a class and she let me take it. And I spoke on the wings of Jehovah from the Psalms. And she said, Brother Peter, why don't you take some wings and put names on them? Put names on some of the pinions. Omnipotence, omniscience, and so on. I think it'd make a wonderful lesson. Third satisfaction, verse 23. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possessed thou the west and the south. Not only safe, but satisfied. Oh, you say, I'll be satisfied when I get to see him and be with him. Yes, but the one who satisfies in heaven you have now. Christ is yours. Satisfied. Satisfied. Jim was a trucker. And he'd come back and they'd fill his truck and he'd go out again. The boss found him in the tool house. And he said, what you doing there? He says, I'm bringing back my empties. Bringing back your empties? He said, yes. You know, I went out with a load and I brought back my empty. You know, I went out this morning, but in coming in contact with others, I felt I needed to get into the presence of God and just let me fill. Let him fill me. Well, did you get something, Jack? Yes, I did. What'd you get? I got this. Oh, Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. Strange fellow, he said to those outside when he went outside. But he wasn't strange. You know something about it, don't you? Isn't it wonderful to be satisfied? Satisfied? Brother Ironside used to tell the story about a Quaker who had a lovely home in an estate on the hillside. And he had a sign out, and the man passed by and read it. This house and farm to the satisfied man. Well, he said, the poor man must be in his dotage. But if he wants to give his house and farm away, I might as well give it to anybody else. And so he knocked at the door. What is it that thee dost want? Thy house and farm. Why? Because you have offered it to the satisfied man. Is thee satisfied? Indeed I am. If thee is satisfied, what dost thou want with my house and farm? Wasn't satisfied. I heard John McNeil, the Moody of Scotland preached, 1,500 people in the city mission, Trotter's mission in Grand Rapids. And he spoke on Psalm 23. He has a book on Psalm 23. Spoke on it very often. It was his popular subject. And he said, can anyone quote the first five words in that psalm? And many didn't. He chose one. The Lord is my shepherd. Now I challenge anyone to finish that. And the lady raised her hand. He said, what is it? I shall not want. He said, is your husband here? I think he heard you say, I want this, I want that, I want something else. I wish I'd married a rich man. Could have had a much nicer house than this. He says, check yourself and see. Are you satisfied with Christ? Are you perfectly content with your shepherd's leading, your shepherd's feeding, your shepherd's care? Paul was. There are three lovely passages in the New Testament about contentment. One in Philippians 4:11. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. Another in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:8. Having food and raiment, be therewith content. And then there's one in Hebrews 13:15. God has promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we can be content with such things as we have. We are living in a day when no one is content. No one is satisfied. No one is restful. A day in which the psychiatrists are having a, whatever you call it. Everybody is nervous, tense, upset, anxious, worrying. Oh, that God's beloved people might show to the world that we are content. We are satisfied. I had someone come to me and say, Peter, if that's what you believe, no one will make any progress, but you will spiritually. You'll be satisfied. And what's the next thing? Separation, verse 13. Of Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that coucheth beneath, and so on. Now verse 16, the last part of that verse. The blessings come on the top of the head of the one who was separated from his brethren. If we are perfectly satisfied, it's not hard to be separated. How can you be satisfied? Satisfied with Thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed. We have a lovely conference grounds in Michigan. I've been at that conference. We have lovely times, too. And we have people gathering together. And I always like to be with the crowd. But I saw two who were very restless and waiting for an opportunity to get away. We have a lane and that conference ground. Doesn't go anywhere. Winds in and out among the trees and beside the lake and comes back through the trees again, then across and gets back where you started. And these two made for that lane. They wanted to be separated. I don't think any of you know anything about that, do you? We call it lover's lane. And they are quite content to be together. Now, an illustration of that we have in the Old Testament with Enoch. The background of Enoch's life is a world in its activity distant from God. But Enoch's was a lover's walk. He walked with God. We're happy. We're happy when we're satisfied. We're happy when we're separated to that man in the glory who loves us. And we love him too. But then we have in verse 3, seated. Yea, he loved the people, all his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy word. For when we're separated to the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes us to the secret place. John and Andrew, where do you dwell? And he showed them where he dwelt. And they stayed with him. And there is a secret place for the believer. It's the place that Mary chose. Someone mentioned Mary. Three times we find her at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once as a scholar to hear his voice. And then as a mourner to pour out her heart to him. And then as a worshiper. You know what it is to just sit at his feet and listen to his voice? He said, Mary, I'm on the way to the cross. I'm going to give my life for you. But you know, I'm going to rise again from the dead. She heard, she listened, she remembered. And you don't find her at the sepulchre. She was in the secret of the Lord. We sing, oh, tell us often of thy love. Lord, speak to me. Let me hear thy voice. Let me sit at thy feet. And then we'll be prepared for any sorrow. When the north wind blows upon our garden, when it shakes those flowers, and we think the Lord has forgotten us, he'll appear. We get at his feet. We sit there and say, Lord. And we just tell him all about it. And then we find the south wind comes into that garden. Sweet the sorrow that brings us to his bosom. And we learn his heart. Mary knew his tears. Angels never did. And it's in the valley of the shadow that we come into touch with our God and know him in a way we couldn't know him otherwise. But you must be at his feet for that. And then we find her at the feet of the Lord Jesus as a worshiper. She gives him her best. Nothing too good for my precious, blessed Lord. She gives her all to him. Sixth, we have been strengthened. Verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The soul that sits at Jesus' feet is made superior to circumstances. There were two martyrs in the days of Queen Mary. They were in a cell. They were to be burnt at the stake on the morrow. There was nothing in that cell but a bench and a table. On that table, a candle was burning. The one brother was calm. The other was perturbed, upset. Oh, oh, brother, oh, oh, has the Lord forsaken me? Oh, it's terrible. Tomorrow. With that, he went to that candle, put his finger in the flame, let it burn to the first joint. It's excruciating, the pain, brother. Just think of tomorrow. Just think of our bodies committed to that flame. And the brother rose, put his hand on the shoulder and said, listen, brother. Tomorrow when we go to the stake, God will be with us. He'll give us grace. He didn't give you a bit of grace for this. Did not. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. God has put two walls between us and yesterday and tomorrow. You can't borrow yesterday's grace for today. You can't do it. And you needn't anticipate tomorrow's troubles. Live today in the enjoyment of a Savior who just showers blessings upon you without number and gives you His strength for the way. Today, Lord, today, Lord, today, Lord, today, Lord. A preacher friend of mine went to a psychiatrist. He was a Jewish and an expert, but he knew what we believe. He said, there are three types of persons that come to me. One, a guilt complex, the past is catching up with them. Others, the burdens of life, they can't face the facts of life. Three, anticipating the future. Now, you Christians, I hear you saying Calvary covers it all. Is that right? Yes. You mean your sins are all forgiven and gone? Yes. I see. That's what your Savior did for you. Dying on the cross, you say yes. But then He's forgotten all about you since that, hasn't He? Well, no. You mean He really cares for you? Well, yes, He loves me. He does. Do you sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear? You can take everything to Him in prayer? Yes, I believe that. You do? Yes. Well, then you're not in the first class and you're not in the second class, but it's be the third class. Future's dark, isn't it? Isn't it gloomy, though, for you? No. Aren't you afraid of death? No. Do you sing, only glory by and by? Yes. Then why are you here?